prove it'll be tainted.
Okay.
Huh?
You pray for both.
Thank you, preacher.
Yeah, I took a drink of that water, and it's okay.
Okay. I've always joked about water. I was preaching in a revival meeting down in Mississippi last year, and they kept bringing me these little bitty bottles of water. And I told them, I said, I know what that means. That means you want a short sermon. And then I guess it's Monday night or Tuesday night, they didn't bring me any water at all. And I said, well, I reckon you're done. I might as well just go on home. And then the last night, they brought me a big 2-gallon jug of water. I said, Lord, we'll be here till heaven. No, it's a joy to be here. And I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And while you're turning, again, it's a joy just to be back in the home country. I was looking today, I think this morning was the first Sunday morning service that I've been here since early March. And so I appreciate you not handing me a visitor's card when I came in. But it has been a good stretch of weeks and months for us. God's helped us. We've had blessed meetings. Seems like everywhere we go, the Lord's met with us. And we're rejoicing in His favor, His kindness, His mercy. Ran into someone yesterday who said, Preacher, we keep up with you on Facebook. Seems like you're getting a lot of opportunities to preach. And I said to him, God has been merciful. And we're not worthy of any of it, are we? But God's been kind, and we bless Him, and thankful to get to be back with you tonight. I also want to say a word before we look into the Scriptures. Opportunity has not presented itself for me to thank you as a church for taking us on for monthly support, but I want you to know how grateful we are. We're humbled to be a part of what God's doing here, and then to be able to be an extension of your ministry all over the country. We give thanks to God for it, and we thank you for it. And so we are very grateful, very, very grateful. Well, Hattie said to me as we come in, she said, Daddy, I hope you preach good tonight. I said, well, I hope I do too. So here it goes, baby, pray for me. I said, pray for me. She said, I'll pray all I can. Amen. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. I want to read just three verses tonight in our reading. They are strange verses and a difficult portion of Scripture in this psalm. Yet, I want to use one of these verses to deliver what I feel is a burden in my heart for the service tonight. I'd like to begin in verse 11, Psalm 68, verse 11, which just happens to be my life verse. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace. She that tarried at home divided the spoil. Verse 13 is my text. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. If read correctly, that's Psalm 68, verses 11 through 13. Let's bow for prayer, and then we'll bring the message tonight. Our Father, we bow in your presence. We give you thanks for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your love, your grace that you've lavished upon us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the blessing and the honor and the privilege it's been today to worship you at home. Thank you for this service tonight, for these songs we've sung, these reminders of truth, and Lord, already for your presence that we sense in our hearts. Now, dear Lord, as we look into Thy Word, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Illuminate our hearts and illuminate our minds. Loose my tongue. And help me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ from this portion of Scripture. And we pray you'll speak to hearts and change lives as you see fit. We ask for your power and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach tonight, the Lord helping me, on this little thought. Just wait till you see it when God's through with it. Just wait till you see it when God is through with it. In studying the Bible, there are many different kinds of text that you will encounter as you make your way through the Scriptures. Some Scriptures are easy Scriptures. Those are my favorite verses. They're like a rock. If you hit them once, they'll split in three pieces. And with just a little effort, you can glean gold and glean truth and find help for your souls. But other texts are quite difficult. Other texts seem to be obscure. Their meaning seems to be hidden deep beneath the surface. And it's those texts that we have to labor with. We have to think about. We have to pray over them if we're going to get any help from them. Verse 13, our key text, is a tough text. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When I first read that text, I thought, Lord, there's something here, but what in the world is it? So I turned to the commentaries for a little help, and I found out they had the same trouble with this text that I had. Spurgeon said, this is a hard nut for the learned to crack. McLaren said that this portion of Scripture is the despair of commentators. Graham Scroggie, this will really help you and encourage you. Scroggie said this text is especially difficult or extremely difficult. And then he said it's among the most difficult in all the verses of the Psalter. Boy, I read that and thought, I just need to close my Bible and lay down. Now, those great men having trouble with the text, I want to be honest with you tonight. I know there's no way I could do this text any justice. However, I do believe there's power in every text of the Bible. Not every text, listen, not every text has fireworks, but every text has firepower. And my prayer tonight is that if God will help us, I'd like to make just a few simple observations, things that are somewhat on the surface of this difficult text. My prayer is that as we do so, the Holy Ghost would help us to see the deeper truths, and that He would help us make application into our own hearts and lives. Now, my outline is not very good, but the Lord may help us anyhow. Let me mention two general observations about this text, and then we'll dive into it a little deeper. Firstly, I would point your attention to the fact there is contrast in this verse. Though ye have lain among the pots. Whatever that may mean, we'll deal with later. But though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. What a contrast. From laying among the pots to flying in the heavens with the doves. This just so happens to be one of the great though yet text of the Bible. If you want a good Bible study, look up the words though and yet and pay attention to when they're used in the same verse. They underline contrast. Though you were one thing, yet the psalmist says you shall be another thing. So the first general observation I would make is simply that there is contrast in this verse. And then I would note further, there is hope in this verse. There's hope for those who have lain among the pots. Again, whatever that may mean. That they shall be something different. That they shall be something better. Come by here tonight to say to you, I don't know where you're at, but there is hope for your situation. It can get better. A brighter day will come. So with those simple observations, there's contrast and hope in this text. Let's break it down individually and consider that in depth for a moment. Let me say three things. Firstly, I want to point out the lowliness that is described in this verse. The lowliness. Though ye have lain among the pots. Now that's a pretty low place to be. There are all sorts of images that come to mind when we think about laying among the pots. Yet all of them speak of a lowly position. Being in the dust. Being down low. Being where things are bad. Being where things are difficult. There's a lowliness described. Now I think David the psalmist has at least two things in mind when he uses this language of laying among the pots. Firstly, as we think about the context of Psalm 68, I think the language speaks to us of bondage in these verses. Bondage. It seems to be a picture of Israel while she's in Egyptian bondage. The idea is that during those years of Egyptian bondage, Israel was simply laying among the pots. The pots may have pointed to the loads that they would have had to carry, the burdens that they would have had to bear for Pharaoh as they labored as his slaves and labored as his servants. So there's a note of bondage in this language. Might I make some application even here, and reminds you that when it comes to bondage, laying among the pots, there was a time in all of our lives where we too were in a lowly place of bondage. We were not the servants of Pharaoh, but we were the servants of sin. And we were the servants of self. The servants of the world. The servants of our flesh. We were in bondage. Israel was in bondage and we too were in bondage. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the most bound up sinners, the ones that are in the greatest bondage, are the ones who think they're freest? You ever notice that? You got a wicked sinner. Somebody that's a slave to a bottle or slave to a drug or slave to their immorality. Their life is defiled and profane and wicked. And they'll say things like this: can't nobody tell me what to do. You ever heard them say that? I'm nobody's slave. I'm nobody's servant. I'm a free man. I do as I please. And the whole time they don't know. They got a chain around their neck. When I was a boy, I wanted a coon hunting dog. A coon dog. I had read Where the Red Fern Grows. And I thought, I'm going to get me a coon dog. So we went to Collinsville Trade Day Flea Market. Which, when I was a boy, I'd just as soon go there as I would Disney World. Be still, my redneck heart. And we went to the back where the biscuits are and the animals are. And I found a little beagle dog in a cage and begged my mama to get it. She didn't like animals, but she relented. And I paid $25 for that little beagle dog, carried him home. And mama said, "Now you're not bringing that dog in the house." So she made me take my little money and buy it a little pen to put out in the back. And while I was going to school during the day, I took me a stake and drove it in the yard and hooked that chain to that stake. That way the dog wouldn't have to stay in its little pen. It could run around in the yard during the day. Well, I've thought a lot about that through the years, and it's dawned on me. That little dog, so long as he ran within the radius of that chain, he never felt that chain pulling on him. But the very minute that that dog tried to get free from that stake, that chain started jerking on his neck. The sinner, so long as the sinner continues in his sin, never feels the pull of his chain. But the very minute that sinner tries to mend his ways, or tries to live right, or tries to walk with God, the first thing that sinner feels is that bondage pulling on his neck. He can't do what he wants to do because he's enslaved to his sin. The only hope for the sinner is that somebody will come and break the chain for him. I've come to tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't know what your situation may have been. God may have saved you out of a gutter, or like me, He might have saved you out of a church pew. But the reality is, we were all in bondage. We all laid among the pots, carrying the heavy burden of our sin, carrying the weight of our sin, and could never, we had no hope of ever being free. But thank God, one day the Lord Jesus showed up in your life. He showed up in my life, and He broke the chains of sin, burst the bands asunder, and set us free for the glory of His name. So of all the things this language might speak of, it speaks definitely of bondage. It's a picture of Israel in her bondage in Egypt. But there's a further idea that comes to mind from these words, though you've lain among the pots. It not only speaks of bondage, but it brings the idea, the image of brokenness as well. It may be that David is speaking of the outside of a potter's house where the broken pots land when they're broken. And he says, "You're like one of those broken pots laying among all the rest of the other broken pots. You're just good for nothing. You can't hold water. You can't hold any material. You just, only thing you're good for is to be discarded, thrown in the trash heap. Good for nothing." Well, I might say by a further way of application, we not only were all at one time in bondage, but we were all broken. Good for nothing. Not good to serve God. We couldn't do it. Not good to live right. We couldn't do it. We were no good to ourselves. We were no good to the cause of Christ. We were no good to the world. We were no good to anybody. We were just broken pots, useless, broken things that were to be discarded, thrown away into the trash heap of this world. I want to tell you, that's what the devil does to us, isn't it? That's what sin will do in your life. It'll take you and it'll break you. And when it's done with you, it'll throw you aside. Leave you out in the trash heap of the world. It's where we all were, wasn't it? Hallelujah. We's all just a bunch of broken vessels. Not fit for anything. But aren't you glad, brother? Aren't you glad, brother, that the potter knows how to fix the broken vessels? Put us back together and make something useful out of us and make something glorious out of us. Now, if you had seen Israel when she was in bondage And if you had seen Israel when she was broken and shattered, not good for nothing, I'm sure you'd have shook your head and said, what a pitiful sight that is. That's sad to see. A broken life, a broken nation, a broken people, a bound up people. That's just a sad story to see. But I think what David is saying in this text, again to use my title, is this. Don't count Israel out yet. You just wait till you see it when God's through with it. That's who she used to be, but it's not who she's always going to be. We might look at our own lives tonight. Brother, when we were in bondage and we were broken, when we were in the mess of our sin, the world might have walked by and shook their head and said, that's pitiful. Bless their heart. What a shame it is to see somebody in that sort of predicament. But I thank God, don't, let's just wait till you see it when God's through with it. Aren't you glad, brother, that bondage and brokenness was not the end of your story? And I've come by to say it tonight, it doesn't have to be the end of anybody's story. But God's able to set us free and able to put us back together. Just wait till you see it when God's through with it. There's lowliness described in this text. There's a second thing I'd point out. Further, there is a lifting described in this text. Though you have lain among the pots, the psalmist said, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. What a picture that is. Though you were once down there among the pots, just a broken vessel, you're coming up, not a broken pot, but flying like the wings of a dove. You shall be as the wings of a dove, he says. You're going to lift up out of that thing. You're going to come up out. I want to tell you, brother, Israel came on out. She was in Egyptian bondage, but through the shed blood of the Passover lamb and by the mighty power of God in those plagues, even to the splitting of the Red Sea, brother, she come up out from among them pots and soared out. I want to tell you, if you look at Israel in the times of David and Solomon as compared to Israel when she's in bondage in Egypt, you would have to testify she soared out like a dove out of the mess that she was in. I want to tell you, there's two pictures given here. It's a picture of salvation, meaning deliverance. Though they were once in bondage, they were in bondage no more. Never again would Israel ever have to answer to Pharaoh. You say, preacher, why is that? Because God drowned Pharaoh in the Red Sea behind them. I want to tell you, brother, God didn't just set them free just so they could go back into Egyptian bondage tomorrow. Now, they had to deal with their problems and God chasing them with bondage years on down the road. But never again did they go back to Egypt, brother. No, they were delivered from their bondage. So God is saying through the pen of David, though you were once in bondage, yet you shall be free. You shall be saved. You shall be rescued. You shall be liberated. You shall be delivered. And that's what God would say to every sinner tonight. If you'll only come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, He'll take you out of that bondage and set you free. Every blood-bought child of God ought to rejoice tonight that God didn't leave you where the devil dropped you off, but He came to where you were and broke your chains and gave you a new life. There's a lifting described. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of soaring up into the heavens. Brother, God didn't just set them free. He enabled them to soar up high into the heavens. Such is the potential for every soul in here tonight. Aren't you glad we don't have to roll around in the mud till we get to heaven? But hallelujah, we've got through grace, through the access given to us through the blood of Jesus. Brother, we can soar in the heavenlies in our Christian life. I want to tell you, brother, some of the Christians I meet look like their mother-in-law moved in with them and ain't going to move out. Some of them look like they've been sucking on lemons. They're miserable. They come into the church house, they got to pick gravel out of their teeth from their lip dragging the parking lot. I want to tell you, brother, they're running on the bottom. They're just rolling around in the mud. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? We don't have to be miserable people. But because of Jesus, thank God, we can get up in the heavens and soar like the wings of a dove. I've always said the Christian life runs better on the top end, brother. So many are running on fumes, but it all runs better on the top end. If you ever get filled with God and full of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, walk in fellowship with God, I want to tell you, praying's a lot better on the top end. Going to church is a lot more enjoyable when you're running on the top end. Reading the Scriptures is a whole lot better when you're living up in the heavenlies. I want to tell you, brother, you ain't got to pout about it tonight. You ain't got to be so down on it tonight. It's good to be saved. It's good to know God. It's good to be His child. So, brother, we've been enabled through Christ to soar on the wings of a dove above our problems, above where we used to be. Sit together with Christ in heavenly places. There's a lowliness described here. There's a lifting described here. But then let me mention there's a livery or a clothing described here. Note it again. Though you've been among the pots, that's a pretty bad place to be, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, soaring up, lifted up, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Now again, Israel was a pitiful sight, but just wait till you see it when God's through with it. We were all a pitiful sight, but just wait till you see us when God's through with us. The picture here is that Israel's not going to stay in that low place, but she's going to soar out, and when she comes out, look at it, she's going to have silver and gold all about her. She's coming out with new clothes. She's coming out looking different. She's coming out decked in royal apparel. I want to say to these people, that those people that died, that never saw Israel in her full glory, I'm sure the psalmist could look at them and say, you ought to see Israel now. I want to tell you, it ain't like it used to be. God's done something. She's got a different look about her than she used to have. Some of you here tonight, you've got a different look about you than you used to have. I want to tell you, have you ever noticed sin has a way of marking the countenance? You can look at somebody. I'm not talking about just the externals. I'm talking about their countenance. Just the look on their face, you can look at them and tell sin is eating them alive. Some of you at one time or another, you were miserable and you looked miserable. But thank God you look a whole lot better than you used to. Hallelujah. Why? Because God has brought us out, give us new clothing. We don't wear the rags of our sin anymore. We don't wear the rags of our shame anymore. No, brother, we've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We've been given a robe of gladness and joy that with which we wear and walk about this earth. I tell you, brother, it's a whole different thing now than it used to be. There's regality here, silver and gold. This royal stuff. Some of y'all know just a few weeks ago we went to England. And I don't know how they get all that money. Their people, bless their hearts, they're paying for all that stuff. But everything associated with royal families, gold and silver. And I'm not talking about gold paint and silver paint, brother. I'm talking about gold and silver, money, royal things, priceless things, costly things. The idea here is we're coming out decked, brother, decked with royal apparel. Don't you realize that's what we are tonight? Because of what Jesus has done for us, we've been made a part of the royal family of God. Hallelujah. You can't see it tonight, but spiritually speaking, I've got gold all over me. And silver, all, I know you can't see it, but gold and silver, brother. That's the gold and silver of salvation. The gold and silver of being God's child. Ah, what a picture. There's regality. And then there's reflection in this apparel. Spurgeon had a little comment about this silver and gold. And he said, I've often sat at my desk and watched the pigeons and doves fly in front of my window. And he said, depending on the time of day and the time of year and the position of that bird as it flies in front of the window, sometimes the light hits it and it looks silver. Other times the light hits those feathers and they look yellow gold as it flies across my window. And so the idea that I take from that is that this dove spoken of in verse 13, brother, it rises up out from among those pots, and everywhere it goes, it's reflecting heaven's light, and heaven's light is being seen in the reflection of those feathers. And so it is with the child of God tonight. We were once among the pots, but now, thank God, everywhere we go, the light of heaven shining on us, and the light of heaven shining out from us. Don't you like it when you get around somebody and you can see heaven on them? You can smell heaven on them. You can just feel heaven on them when you get around them. That's the picture of the child of God living in fellowship with Christ. It's just glory, glory, glory. It's hallelujah. It's bless the Lord. There's light and joy and peace and hope just emanating off of those feathers. That's what God says He'll do for Israel. It's what God will do for the sinner. Just wait till you see it when God's through with it. He can take a sinner among the pots, stick them in the heavens, and put heaven's light all around them. So there's some simple observations. Let me close with some pictures. What is this a picture of? Here's my message tonight. I want to tell you, this is a picture of regeneration. This is what God has done and what God can do with the dead sinner. He can take your life out from the pots, raise you up to soar on eagle's wings. And if you're saved, that's what He's done for you. It's a picture of salvation, regeneration. But further, it's a picture of restoration. I wonder tonight, is there anything in your life laying among the pots? Is there anything in your life that is in bondage, that's broken, that you feel like is just a pitiful mess? You know, it's everything's in disarray, everything's in chaos. You say, preacher, this area of my life, whether it be my marriage or my home or my children or my family or my ministry, maybe it's just your life. You say, preacher, it's all a mess. Just wait till you see it when God's through with it. I want to tell you, brother, if God gets involved, He can take that broken thing and He can transform it and make it to soar on the wings of a dove once again. Don't give up hope tonight on your family. Don't give up hope tonight on your marriage. Don't give up hope tonight on your children. I want to tell you, brother, God can still do something with it. Can I tell you, it's a picture of revival. Sometimes we feel like the church is just laying among the pots. Everywhere I go, it seems like people talk down about the church. Look how bad the church has gotten. Look how struggling the church, how pitiful the church is. But I want to tell you, brother, listen close. You just wait till you see the church when God's through with it. It might look dark in the church today. There might be shadows, and it might look like everything's just broken and busted up. But God's not through with the church. I want to tell you, brother, there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus is going to present us to Himself a glorious church. You just wait till you see it when God's through with it. Her pews might be empty. Her bank accounts might be low. Her followers might be few. Her influence might not be what it used to be. But You just wait till you see it when God's through with it. And let me tell you lastly, it's a picture of resurrection. John said, behold. I like those behold. You know what they are? They're divine advertisements. What God is saying when He uses that word behold is stop here and look at this for a minute. Let me have your attention, God says. Spurgeon said you can profit from all Scripture, but you better pause at the beholds. I like that. Behold, John said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. John said in verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. I won't tell you. You just wait till you see it. When God's through with it. You look at your life tonight and you say, preacher, it don't seem like I'm making any progress in Christ's likeness. Doesn't look like I'm gaining any ground in godliness. Well, honey, you just hang on a minute. Because one day, the eastern sky is going to split. Roll back like a scroll. The trumpet's going to sound. Our Lord's going to descend. And we are going to see Him face to face. And brother, we're going to be like Him. Hallelujah. Just wait till you see it when God's through with it. Some of you might not like the way I look tonight. Just hang on. Give me a minute. Just wait till you see me when God's through with it. Somebody said, He kind of gets on my nerves. Well, just hang on. You get on my nerves too. I'm hanging on. Just wait till you see us when God's through with us. I want to tell you, there's coming a day, brother, where there won't be any blemishes and any imperfections. We're going to be free from our sin and free from our flesh. And we're going to be like Jesus. Just wait till you see us when God's through with us. Come by to tell you tonight, you might be laying among the pots, but you don't have to stay there. There's a God who can take you and make something glorious out of you, who can take your broken life, your broken home, your broken family, and He can do what nobody else can do. He can make you soar on wings like a dove. He can deck you out in silver and gold and make you something you couldn't make yourself in 10 million lifetimes. Just wait till you see it when God's through with you. While you stand tonight, I don't know where you are. Don't know what you need. Don't know what is broken in your life.